I'll open it for questions and comments about how your practice is going or what happened to, for you during the week as you were working with the exercises. Remind myself of what they were. And remember the intention one. Is the sound on?
No.
A little louder.
Oh, that's better.
Now you can hear? Okay. Oh, maybe just a little bit down. Just a little. Yeah, let's try that. Okay. So I suggested the intention exercise was the only one I really suggested. So did anybody try that? The watching to see, wait, not getting up the first time you thought of getting up. Did anybody try that?
Mm-hmm.
No, you did?
I did.
You're willing to talk about it?
Sure, but sort of have a bit of an exception. Is I frequently will sit for 45 minutes or whatever, but I chose my venue to do this in the backyard under this big cedar tree. And I thought, okay, this is fine. And I set my alarm for like an hour and a half ahead so that I had to get up by that time. So of course, after about 20 minutes, bugs started crawling on me. So I lasted like 40 minutes, but it was like, you know, the hopping bugs I could handle and stuff like that. But when they're like skittering bugs, it was like, okay, forget it.
So what was your experience as you, did everybody hear what she said? What was your experience as you noticed that movement to get up? Or that,
well,
ooh, can't stand this. What was that like?
It was a little exciting. It was like, like that. I sort of, because I was aware of the whole process that I was going to wait until I had a real urge to get up, it was like I go, well, is this an urge? And it's like, no. It's like, you could be here all day. It's like, yes. Like that, because I was completely content other than having dancing bugs. And
so
finally,
it's
after three episodes, large bug episodes, I just like went off and went down.
But do you remember what the large bug episodes felt like? What your mind was doing?
Well, the first time I was trying to identify what sort of bug it was.
Mm-hmm.
And after a while, it was obviously a fly. It's like only flies move like this.
So there was the thinking process going along with like analyzing these sensations.
Yes, uh-huh. I felt the sensations and I thought, oh, wait a minute, that's a bug. And it's like, and then I thought, well, what bug? And I didn't consider what sort of feet the other ones were. It was just, there were many.
Uh-huh.
It was many feet. It's like my sort of my left hip and my left buttock were getting, you know, walked on. And it was like, I'm moving.
Well, good. Thank you. Anyone else? Anyone else try it? No one. No one willing to admit they tried it? Any other comments or okay, so we'll go ahead and start. And since so few of you tried the exercise, I'll try to incorporate a variation on it in the guided meditation. So we'll have something to discuss later on. So get yourself, set yourself in a reasonably comfortable, upright, and alert posture. And gently close your eyes. And start by taking a few long, slow, deep breaths. Connect to the body and a sense of presence on the in-breath. And let go. Relax on the out-breath. And let your breathing return to normal. Now bring your attention to the sense door of hearing, to the sounds in the room, the sound of my voice, internal sounds in your body, and sounds outside. Let the sounds wash over you as if you were listening to music. The sounds just appear, persist for a while, and disappear. There's no way to know what the next sound will be. Now bring your attention to the physical sensations of your body. Feel your whole body sitting here. A sense of uprightness. The pressure of your butt on the chair or the floor. The contact of your hands against each other or against your legs. And within the sensations of the body, become aware of the gentle moving sensations that are connected with breathing. Attune your awareness to the sensations of breathing. See if you can notice what the first sensation tells you that you're breathing in. And see if you can notice what the first sensation is that tells you that you're breathing out. If the mind wanders, acknowledge that it has wandered, thinking. And if it's easy, just let go of the thoughts and bring your attention back to the sensations of breathing. If something arises that's more compelling to the breathe than the breathing, just let go of the breathing and let your attention rest with whatever that is. Bring your full attention to it. Mindfulness is very inclusive. For the next 5 minutes of the sitting, I'd like to suggest that you resolve to stay in stillness. If you find that you'd like to move, see if you can notice the desire to move. What does it feel like? Notice the wanting to move, and stay in stillness as much as possible. For the last minute of the sitting, let go of any tension that may have accumulated from trying to keep yourself still. And simply rest your attention with the sensations of breathing. Feel the rhythm of breathing in and breathing out. And hold your attention steady in a relaxed way. So how was that for you, holding yourself still for 5 minutes, or trying to? Yeah.
It's a little easier than I thought it would be. My pants were pulling on my leg and stuff, and after a few minutes, the wanting changed from a strong compulsion to just, being aware of being a little bit of discomfort.
Uh-huh.
And so it's like the strong compulsion component just sort of faded away.
Did that make it easier?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So did everyone hear what he said?
No.
So he said that it was a little easier than he thought it would be. That initially when we started it, there was a very strong pulling of his pants against his leg,
the skin of his leg,
and it was there was a very strong compulsion. The wanting felt like a very strong compulsion to move, and after a couple of minutes, the compulsion part went away, and it just was the unpleasantness of the sensations, and it was much easier to stay with that. Thank you. That's great. Thank you. Anyone else have any comments? Yeah.
It was very uncomfortable in the beginning, and after a while, it was like I felt almost like my arm was stuck here, and I had to move it.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't do it. I felt really hard, suffocating, but then it went away. The first 2 minutes were really uncomfortable.
Uh-huh. But again, after a couple of minutes, that kind of compulsion went away. Uh-huh. That's great. Thank you.
I wasn't feeling any bodily discomfort, so it was easy to stay. I didn't have any desire to move. I found that I started breathing, since I was thinking about the staying still, I started breathing a lot slower. I could feel that my breathing slowed down. Which was very pleasant.
That's great. That's lovely. Thank you. Yeah, that can be helpful sometimes to just let our bodies rest and see what, that the whole body kind of responds to the stillness sometimes. So, thank you.
Without experiencing discomfort, it did feel a need to and there was some movement that happened involuntarily. Maybe just a slight adjustment.
Uh-huh.
It sort of clicked its way out.
Yeah, that can happen too. Sometimes I find some very massive involuntary movements happen in meditation too. So you know, you can't necessarily stop them all. Thank you. So today, I'd like to talk about bringing our mindfulness practice into our daily life. So I'd like to start discussing this with a story that one of my teachers has told me about her own practice. And this is my teacher, Kamala Masters, who teaches mostly on the East Coast and in Hawaii. And when she, pretty early in her meditation practice, she had an experience where one of her teachers told her, "You should sit every day." And she told her teacher, "It's not going to happen. I'm a single mom. There's no way I can sit every day." And then it happened that he came to stay at her house for a period of time, and he saw just how incredibly busy she was. I think she has 4 kids. And it was just impossible for her to... There was always somebody interrupting her. And so he asked her, "Where do your kids not interrupt you too much?" And she said, "Well, when I'm doing dishes at the sink, they don't seem to bug me too much." So he stood with her at the sink and guided her through the process of feeling her hands in the water, the movement of her hands as she washed the dishes. "What are you thinking about now?" "Oh, planning, planning, planning." "Just come back to the movement, the feeling of the water, the sensations, the standing posture, and let your time at the sink be your meditation hall." And then he asked her, "Is there any place else in the house that the kids don't bother you too much?" And she said, "Well, when I'm walking through this particular hall, they don't seem to bug me too much." So he said, "This will become your walking temple. Whenever you enter into this meditation, into this hall, notice the walking. Notice the movement. You know, 3 or 4 steps. Just notice it. And then let it go when you leave the meditation hall and go on with your day." So in this way, he was suggesting activities that would help her to carry her mindfulness throughout her day. Early in my practice, I read 2 books by Joko Beck. One was called Everyday Zen, and one was called Nothing Special. And in one of those 2 books, she recommended also this idea of picking projects to wake yourself up, kind of mindfulness bells to remind you to be present. She said, you know, if you try to set your intention to be mindful for the whole day, you'll set yourself up for failure. So that's maybe a bit too much to bite off. So pick a project or two and commit yourself to trying to wake up for those things. And so after reading that, I picked 2 projects for myself. One was a very strong emotion that was up for me at the time. Anger was the emotion that kept coming up, and it kind of felt like it overwhelmed me. And the other one was a really neutral event that happened in my day. And I was working on a computer system at that time. This was a number of years ago now. So the project I picked was when I had to switch between DOS and Windows on my computer. When I had to take that action on the computer, I would just try to remember to pay attention. Very simple. I mean, that only takes a couple seconds at most to do that activity. So just try to pay attention, what's happening in my body and what's happening in my mind. So I picked a kind of a difficult event, this strong emotion, and this neutral event. And what initially, the way I tried to pay attention was with the strong emotion, was just to notice what it felt like to be having that strong emotion. What does it feel like to be angry? Anger, anger, anger. And actually about all I could do was just recognize the anger. It was very hard sometimes to be with the anger. All I could just know was, yep, I'm angry. This is anger. And with the neutral event, I basically just tried to check in. What's happening? You know, what's my body doing? Is it tense? Is it, you know, am I got my shoulders up? Am I rigid anywhere? How's my breathing? Very, very simple. Just kind of check in with the body. And in doing this, I discovered that with the strong emotion, what happened was that it would rarely happen that the strong emotion would go away without my noticing it, because what seemed to happen is it got stronger and stronger and stronger until it was so screamingly obvious that I was in a rage, and it's like, oh yeah, I'm really angry. I'm supposed to pay attention to this. What am I? Okay, anger. Oh, this is difficult, you know. It was very, very painful and difficult to pay attention to that rage because it had built up to such a degree. But I remembered. I mean, it was kind of hard not to at some point, because it really woke me up itself. The strength of the anger itself woke me up. With the neutral event, what seemed to happen was that hours would go by and I would forget to notice it at all. And then I would remember, oh yeah, I'm supposed to be doing that sometime in the middle of the day. And I would try to remember again. And then, you know, more time would elapse and, oh yeah, I'm supposed to be doing that. So at first it really was a process of remembering way after the event had happened. It was happening frequently enough during the day that it kept reminding me at some point. But that process of recognizing, oh yeah, I'm supposed to be paying attention to this, that's actually a moment of mindfulness. It's remembering that you didn't remember. You're waking up in that moment. That's what I had resolved to do. And what seems to happen as you make this resolve, if you don't give up on it, I mean, it's easy sometimes to think, oh, I can't do this because it's been hours and I haven't noticed any of them. Obviously, I can't do this. That's not really the way it works. It actually, that moment of saying, oh, I haven't done this yet, that's the beginning. That's the beginning of the process. So keep dedicating yourself to that intention to pay attention to that chosen event. And eventually, it may be that you'll remember right after it finished. So like, you know, oh, I switched between DOS and Windows, and a minute later, oh, I forgot. Instead of hours later, it's a minute later. That's a real improvement. The awakening is getting closer to the actual event until at some point it happens right when the event happens. Oh, I'm switching between DOS and Windows now. What's happening in my body? And then it became more natural to just wake up for that thing. So it takes some time to bring awareness into our daily lives to pick these kind of actions to wake up for. But it's really helpful in bringing our practice through our day. And you can choose many, many types of events. I'll just list some of them that I've used during my practice, during my years of practice. I've noticed when I'm getting up from my desk at work. Anytime I stand up, just notice the act of standing. I mentioned this a few weeks ago, I think, waiting three rings for the telephone. When the telephone rings, let it ring three times before you answer it, and just pay attention to what's happening while the telephone is ringing. Another one that actually became one of my favorites after a while was the whole process of getting up to go to the restroom. So the noticing, oh, I need to go to the restroom now, the act of standing, the walking to get the key. I was in an office building that needed the key for the restroom. The walking to the restroom, all the activity in the restroom, and the walking back, putting the key away, coming back to my desk and sitting down. The whole thing took 3 to 5 minutes. And that break of mindfulness in the middle of my day really felt like a vacation. It was so refreshing to let go of all of the worries and all of the repetitive thinking that went in with the work, the kind of compulsive, oh, what do I have to do next, and how am I going to do this, and how am I going to tell this person about it. To just let go of that for 3 to 5 minutes was very refreshing in my day. Another thing you might try is picking something that's kind of up for you, like I did with my anger, picking an emotion that is troubling for you and just resolving to wake up for it. And this can be really challenging, especially if it's a very difficult emotion. But you can simply What I did with the anger very often was just to recognize, okay, I'm angry. This is anger. And then, you know, as much as possible to just let it go. I didn't really try to ride it out so much initially. I didn't have the strength of mindfulness to do that early in my practice. But just to try to let it go and come back to the present moment. So it can be very skillful to let go of those kinds of troubling emotions as well as trying to bring our full mindfulness to them. Sometimes it's actually more skillful to try to let go of them, depending on how hard they are for us, how likely they are to pull us into the content, to the story. Well, I did this a few years ago. I picked impatience. Impatience was something that I noticed was pretty prevalent in my life. And so I just decided to start paying attention whenever impatience arose in my day. I noticed that it was just about everywhere. I was impatient when I was brushing my teeth, because I felt like this wasn't worth my time. I had better things to do than brush my teeth. I got impatient when I was really tired, when I really wanted to be in bed and I had other things to do. There was an impatience that built up. At one point, after a couple of months of looking at impatience, I was walking down the street and this impatient movement of mine came up, and it's like, oh, there's impatience. And then the very next thought was, I've been looking at impatience for 2 months. When is it going to get better? Oh, there it is again. More impatience. So it can take a long time, but, you know, it was very instructive for me to pay attention to the impatience. Another great thing to pay attention to in our daily lives is any chore. Unloading the dishwasher, washing the dishes, vacuuming, cleaning the bathroom. These are great places to practice mindfulness. They are not particularly pleasant activities because we don't particularly want to do them, but you may find that if you actually use them as an opportunity to practice mindfulness, there's a lot of really pleasant things happening as you're washing the dishes and cleaning the bathroom. We get this opportunity on retreat because we get to do a 45-minute period of working meditation on retreats every day. And it varies what we do. Sometimes it's chopping vegetables, sometimes it's vacuuming, sometimes it's cleaning the bathroom. So there's a variety of things that we do. And typically for a particular retreat, you have the same task every day. So you really get an opportunity to see what's happening for you in that task. And the last retreat I was on, I did vacuuming. And I began to notice at one point how intensely I was vacuuming. I mean, it's like I thought I had to scrub the floor with the vacuum cleaner. And I realized that the vacuum did the work. You know, I didn't actually have to scrub the floor. It could be a very easy push, pull, push, pull. And it really, the whole process of vacuuming became much more pleasant and less stressful on the body after that. And so there's a lot of things that we can learn. And plus which, just the time. I mean, we have to do these things anyway. We have to unload the dishwasher. We have to wash our dishes. We have to clean the bathroom. Why not practice mindfulness? It's a great opportunity. Another way that I helped to wake myself up during my daily practice was to put little notes around my house, mindfulness reminders of qualities of mind that I wanted to try to cultivate. And I picked a particular list that I was working with at the time called the 10 Paramis. And these are qualities that we cultivate as we wake up. And they're qualities like giving, renunciation, virtue, energy, patience, truthfulness, loving kindness, equanimity, those kinds of qualities. And what I would do is put a little note in a place where, oh, patience is in that list too, where I might not have that quality or might need to be reminded of it. So equanimity went on my computer. Truthfulness went on the telephone. patients went in the bathroom where I was brushing my teeth. So I used that as little reminders to help me. Wisdom went on the refrigerator. Giving went on the door going outside to just remind me to have that kind of giving attitude as I left the house. So that's another way that we can help ourselves to remember. I mean, it's hard to remember to be mindful. If I don't know how many of you were here the other day when Joseph gave his talk, but he said, no, mindfulness isn't so hard. It's remembering to do it that's hard. So anything that we can do to help ourselves remember is a plus. So the next thing I'd like to talk about is intention and motivation. And these are other areas that are very helpful for us to attend to in our daily lives. So intention is a subtle shift in the mind that precedes any act of body, speech, or mind. We know we're going to move. We can know we're going to move before we move. We can know we're going to speak before we speak. And we can actually know we're going to think before we think. And know we're inclining towards a particular emotion before that emotion actually appears.